is the conditional use number 2592, Soltage DE Dev Company LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 85.3 acres more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Radish Road containing 85.3 acres more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Radish Road and on the north side of Hickory Hill Road and the Indian Town Road, approximately 940 feet east of Mumford Road, which is Sussex County Route 409. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 133, Map 20, Parcel 51.00. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits and presentation materials. We have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter, and I would note we have received zero comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. Again, for the record, my name is Mackenzie Sindelar. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing here on behalf of Soltage DE Devco LLC. I, as I mentioned, will incorporate by reference as much as possible the comments I previously made in the last hearing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So just for introduction purposes, again, rather than John Marco Sanchez, Zach Meyer is the development director for this particular project and is present today, and will also be providing some similar information that was provided for the prior application. And I will not introduce again Soltage. I will incorporate again that background on who they are that I referenced in the prior hearing. The property owner here is the properties in trust, Cecilia K. Mitchell, trustee of the Cecilia K. Mitchell Revocable Trust, and C.W. Mitchell and Cecilia are here this afternoon. Again, Stephen Fortunato is here with Bowler on behalf of the application, and Matt Jeanette with Geotechs also going to speak on the forest assessment. Again, this application seeks to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 residential district within the low density area for a solar array facility, and I will again reference the statements I made in the prior hearing that this is a community solar project operating under the Delaware's Clean Energy Facility Program. Upon approval of this particular project, the applicant will install a pair of four MWOC solar energy facilities that generate a combined total of 8 of electric power. The project has been designed for installation in one phase. However, you'll see on the plan that there is a phasing contemplated. The reason being to ultimately to get the solar energy to market as quickly as possible. So there's this particular phase and then this particular phase. This particular phase, applications have been made for interconnection and are anticipated in approximately a month with the opposite. This particular phase, excuse me, is phase one, and this particular phase is phase two. So anticipating interconnection approval of phase one in approximately a month, and phase two in approximately 3 to 4 months. The goal would be, of course, to bring on the entire project together. You can have co-location of two projects together, provided that they don't exceed the 4 megawatt capacity. That's why this is structured in this way, and that's a state regulation requirement. Are there questions on that before I move forward on that? I just want to make sure that you understand.
So the equipment would be put in the phase as it's going, like
only if there was a delay of the issuance of the interconnection approval for phase two, which is not anticipated at this time. It's just that if they could bring phase one on first to get the product to market sooner. We're trying to be just candid with you because of the concerns about
timing is everything. Things, yeah.
And there's an ability here to bifurcate that process. And it's all dependent on when the interconnection approval is provided.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So With respect to this site, it's located between Hickory Hill Road and Radish Road, and there is, we'll talk about this, there's this section of the property that's opposite the street, which will come up in consideration of wetland areas as well as forest to be retained. The parcel number here is 133-20-51. Acreage is approximately 85.09 acres with a net development area of 58.45 acres. The property is located within the AR1 low density and level 3 and 4 areas. Access is going to be provided from Hickory Hill. And again, there's internal streets for maintenance that you can see on the site plan. Again, limited traffic, a diminutive impact was determined. Solar setbacks have been met or exceeded. 100 foot required from the north, 183.2 feet proposed. From the west side, 50 feet required, 104.7 has been proposed. From the south side, 50 feet required, 98.7 has been proposed. From the east side, 50 feet required, 66.6 feet is proposed. And with respect to distance from dwelling unit, that's it's required at 200 feet, but proposed is 207.6. I do want to submit, like I did previously, a street view, so you have an understanding of what the map looks like, what it looks like today, what it will look like when it's planted, and then what it will look like in 10 years, so that you have an understanding. And Steve just pointed out to me that I did load this already so that you could see as well. So that you can understand what it will look like, obviously, in the near future versus the forested buffer here, so you'll see maintenance of existing trees. This particular area will be buffered. I do have a set of conditions I'm going to submit now that confirm that. Along this marked area here, as well as here and here, we're proposing a buffer that's 30 feet wide to consist of 10 evergreen trees per linear feet. The wetland area is across the street. It consists of approximately 5.02 acres, and as you can see, no arrays are proposed in that area. In terms of compliance with the zoning, comprehensive plan, conditional use, and solar siting considerations, I'll incorporate by reference the previous statements I made with respect to the last project, which are also applicable here, for zoning code and comprehensive plan requirements. However, I do want to just walk through again the solar siting considerations as they apply to this project before I ask Zach Meyer to speak for a few minutes. The landscape buffer here, as required by section 115-172I, has been proposed with a minimum of 100 feet from any streets and a minimum of 50 feet from all property lines. The panel location, as I mentioned, is 207.6 feet away from any dwelling on a neighboring property, therefore in excess of the minimum 200 feet setback. Equipment location is centrally located in the site. The facility will operate as a ground-mounted solar farm. Signage will be in compliance with the code. Security measures will also be in place with that ag-style fence that I mentioned previously. There is also a decommissioning plan that's been submitted, and final approval will be, of course, subject to this commission's review and approval. And finally, I did want to just highlight again the same points. We have compliance with the solar ordinance, 5.02 acres of wetlands remaining as undisturbed, voluntary maintenance of woodlands, and I do want to have Mr. Jeanette speak to that And then, again, there's a land trust donation with that same ratio, the 2-to-3, as well. Let me have Mr. Jeanette just come and speak to the forest assessment.
Hi again, Matt Jeanette, environmental scientist with Geotechnology Associates. And just to reiterate, GTA performed a forest assessment on this site as well. And the purpose of that is to identify areas that are higher priority for retention based on species composition, stand age, and overall habitat quality. So on this site, as Mackenzie described, it's separated into three tracts of land, you know, north of Hickory Hill Road and south of Hickory Hill Road. We looked at both areas just to try to paint a full picture of the forest of resources on site. And actually, the what we would consider to be the highest quality forest is actually the forest south of Hickory Hill Road, associated with Iron Branch there, which forms the southern property boundary. The forest down there was great condition, honestly. It was dominated by lizard's tail and netted chain fern and the herbaceous layer. Great shrubs down there, clethra, spice bush, viburnum, things that like are really good for wildlife habitat, especially birds. And then the largest trees on the site were actually in this wetland here. All of the specimen trees we observed in this property, trees that are greater than 30 inches in diameter, were the ones that are actually down in this wetland. And then kind of progressing north, buffering that wetland was also a pretty nice forest. A lot of mass-producing trees, so your oaks, beeches, hickories, trees that are really valuable for wildlife habitat potential, were the trees that were kind of buffering that wetland on this. There's a pretty moderately sloped hillside buffering that wetland there, and so that's where we saw a lot of those larger trees also. And then moving onto the site as a whole, there were 37 and a half acres of forest on the tract of land north of Hickory Hill Road. You know, compared to the Millsboro site that I spoke to earlier, this site is a little bit more mature. It's what we would consider to be a mid-successional stage forest. So typical of Sussex County, a lot of our mid-successional stage forests are really dominated by red maple. Not a great tree, but it's native. It produces quality habitat value. But we're starting to see some of these more mature trees popping in here. So those are some of our oaks and hickories. But those are really limited to little isolated areas. You never had a full stand of oaks and hickories with just isolated individuals. What kind of hurts this site or this forested area here is the amount of edge habitat we have. So, you know, when you look probably 100 to 150 feet from the agricultural field edge at the bottom and then Radish Lane at the top, you're getting a lot more light produced in infiltrating that area, which leads to a lot of invasive species. So we had a lot of Oriental bittersweet, Japanese honeysuckle, and then a lot of smilax also, which really kind of inhibits wildlife habitat value along the edges. But where we saw the nicer forest is kind of in this core areas, primarily in the northern part of that stand there, closer to the road to the north there, along the northern property line. Happy to answer any questions afterwards.
Thank you.
And then finally, I'd just like to have Zach Meyer speak on a few points.
Hello, I'm Zach Meyer of 4 Kirk Street, P.O. Box 663, Housatonic, Massachusetts. I'm here also on behalf of Soltage DE DevCo LLC. Thank you for your time and consideration today. So before I jump into a few other points, I just want to make sure we're clear on what Mr. Jeanette was saying. You're saying that on this site, the highest quality forest is the part south of the road that we're not proposing to touch, right?
Correct.
Okay. I guess I'll stick with trees for a moment to since I started there. Just reiterating what my colleague mentioned and our council, which is this arrangement with Sussex County Land Trust to, for every 2 acres of trees that we remove, we would fund three acres of reforestation with the Sussex County Land Trust. And we have, you know, spoken with them about this, and they're on board with this concept. And then again, noting that we understand the Sierra Club of Delaware, they support this sort of reforestation concept as well. My understanding is that they suggest it for an equal amount of acres, and you know, we're going a bit above and beyond for that with the 3-to-2 ratio. Another point, well, we talked a little bit about energy supply in the grid while demand is increasing. I think we've all been seeing and feeling that, so that's kind of high level, maybe the most important point to make. We're also helping the Delaware Renewable Energy Targets. Talking a little bit about specifics on this project for the community solar benefits, you know, it is a larger project than the prior one that we've presented. So this one is, we believe, would service approximately 1,700 homes and totaling approximately $18 million over its 40-year life of the project of energy savings for those subscribers. And I guess lastly, I will mention, well, no, two more brief points. We talked about interconnection. I know that's been a topic. To be clear, we're pretty far along with that with Delmarva Power and Light. And I will say, even though they haven't provided the formal approval and cost letter, we've had conversations with them that lead us to believe that these projects will indeed be able to proceed and, you know, afford their interconnection cost upgrades. And then lastly, I want to talk about the fence. So we are proposing, and I would say suggesting in some ways, the fixed, not agricultural style fence. To be clear, we're willing to use the standard here in Sussex County. If you prefer for us to stick with a chain link fence with the mesh screen or the interwoven slabs for opaqueness, we're happy to do that. But we wanted to propose what we've been doing on a lot more projects really around the country, which is a nice kind of farm style fence. You know, I'm a solar person, so I'm biased, but I actually think it looks nicer to look at a farm style fence with the vegetative buffer first and foremost, right? But even in the years before that really thickens out, I'd rather see a farm style fence, you know, with solar beyond it than to see a chain link fence with screening on it with barbed wire. So just a suggestion, but we will go with whichever is your preference. And then
because it came out last time, what's that mean, a farm style fence?
Yeah. So we're going to submit a detail on it, but if we go to the rendering, let's see if I can do that.
It doesn't help. I know, because
it is on the plan. I know it doesn't help you. It's on the plan. It's just that it's not a good.
Okay.
We need to submit, and we'll submit for council the
full detail. Well, just describe it.
Yeah. So it's right. I actually have a detail on my phone. I don't know if that's proper to work.
No, or just tell us what it is.
Sure. So instead of chain link has like pretty narrow, holes basically in the fence, this would be more of what you would see at a cow or a horse pasture where you'd
like
have
a split rail fence, wooden
post and rail.
The post being wood, I want to say yes, but can I try to get back to you on that in the supplemental filings to confirm? Okay. I believe they would be, but I want to double check to confirm.
We're just curious because that doesn't, like Mr. Robertson suggested, it doesn't, when you say farm style fence, that
right,
could mean a whole lot of things to you versus
right. No, this would still be, you know, safety is first and foremost. We have to, for the National Electric Code, no matter what style it is, it has to be 7 feet tall. And then we're just talking about having,
it's wood.
It is, okay, so it's wood, it is wood posts, and then metal between the wooden posts, but with wider, you know, with wider holes, and I'd say, especially without the barbed wire, I personally think it looks
typically
nice.
It's the woven that we require. But this goes back to the point of there's so many that are in front of us.
Yeah.
And we put these conditions on things, and then nothing gets built. So we don't know what we don't know. So we may be putting a condition on something that, I keep saying this, later on we all go, oh my gosh, that was a terrible idea.
Right.
Or we should have done this. So that we're kind of in the growing pain kind of thing with this.
I understand.
But I do think that we need to remain consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. We're happy to do the standard if that's preferred.
My thought.
Yep. And
I have to go back and check. Let me look.
But if you have examples that you want,
We'll submit a detail to the record to show a little bit more for you to consider.
Yep.
I believe that concludes my statement. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So that concludes our presentation. I'll just confirm again, the proposed conditional use aligns with the AR1 district, and it's also consistent with the county's solar ordinance, this particular plan, and the comprehensive plan. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll see if anyone has any questions, and again, we'll start with Mr. Pettyjohn.
I don't have any questions at this time.
No. Mr. Collins?
No questions, no.
Thank you. No questions.
None.
No.
Council?
No questions.
Mr. Whitehouse?
None for me.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I do have a question.
All right. Pop
it. Mr. Robertson's going to love this one. $3,000 an acre. Where are you finding land for $3,000 an acre for reforestation? I'm just
I think the suggestion was that it would be for the land trust to use to plant trees on lands that they own.
Okay, that's, yeah. All right. Sorry, I was mishearing, misunderstanding.
You wanted to buy some at that rate, didn't you?
Well, yeah, who wouldn't?
Okay.
Just on the fencing, I'm looking at the code again. It talks about fencing, you know, and then emergency access, but it doesn't talk about the specific details of the fencing. That's been more of a standard requirement that's been imposed by the commission. There is the buffer requirement, but to your point, Ms. Wingate, that's been one of the issues. I think we're all ears on what the best scenario is, and we haven't seen a lot of these built yet to know what the best scenario may be.
Yeah, learning process.
I do agree with the prior applicant about, you know, some of the screening material on the fences deteriorates pretty fast. I think I've seen it blowing around in some other communities.
Okay, all right. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2592, Soltage DE Dev Company LLC? Yeah, Mr. Mitchell.
My name's C.W. Mitchell, 29 Black Duck Reach Road. I'm here on behalf of my family. We've owned land in Sussex County for 6 generations, so we've been around for a while. And you know, our goal is to continue to, you know, be farmers and good stewards of the land. We're pretty excited about the solar opportunity. You know, the funds from that will certainly help a family as our family goes generationally. And you know, one thing I think that's maybe more out of the council's comments, the land that we're looking to put this on is not what would be considered productive agricultural land. It is being tilled now, but it certainly is not not what would be top quality soil in Sussex. So I just thank you for your opportunity. Yep.
All right, thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone like to speak in opposition? Okay, there being none, would you like your 5 minutes? No? Okay, you're good. I like that. All right, Mr. Pettyjohn.
All right, well, that being said, I move that we defer action on conditional use 2592 Soltage DE DevCo LLC for further consideration.
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2592 Soltage DE Dev Company LLC. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. It is